T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
It is a money morning here on Cardle and Woolley. Everything in our stories is pretty much about money. Biden signs the inflation bill that's going to reduce our inflation.
No, it's the IRS inflating bill is what it is.
Not according to Time magazine. They say all that talk we've been doing about the IRS is fake news.
Oh, brother.
And our city council looking for maybe some nice pay raises.
They found an extra $20 million, Lynn. How does that happen? I'm going to go check my bank account this afternoon after we get off the air. There may be an extra $1 million for Lynn Woolley.
Well, that would work out nice, wouldn't it?
And they're actually saying that the city council themselves, even they have to deal with the cost of living.
Oh, sure.
Or fellas and
yeah,
gals.
I feel especially bad for the mayor because he's makes such a
he
tiny salary.
He only makes $97,000 a
year. But that's going to kick up to over $100,000 if this thing goes through. Of course, we'll have a different mayor.
And each city council member makes over
$83,000. I knew I should have run for council. I knew it.
Have they done, in the average voter's eyes, have they done a sufficient job to justify pay raise, do you think, Lynn Woolley?
One of them.
Which, yeah, exactly. That would
McKenzie,
be,
I think,
McKenzie
deserves it.
Kelly, exactly.
She's the only one keeping the others from being totally insane.
Yeah, and she wanted to. She one of the things we need to ask her next time she's on the air how the effort to have more auditing and transparency of the city budget is going. By the way, which the rest are killing.
Well, I mean, you know, we've got shortages in places like the police and the 911 situation.
Hey,
but you know, we've got plenty of money to buy hotels and things like that for the homeless. Look, I'm a homeless hawk. I want their rear ends off the streets.
Well,
now,
yeah.
There are three kinds, as we've talked about, and I feel bad about the veterans, but I think the federal government ought to help the veterans who are suffering from war injuries, whether it's PS, you know what, you know the thing.
And I want to have more mental hospitals
PTSD
reopened to help those who are, in fact, psychologically imbalanced.
The rest can go get jobs.
Mm-hmm. The rest can go get jobs.
All right, Liz Cheney.
Or training.
Liz Cheney brought in a massive 49,316 votes. I never thought she could pull that off, did you?
Yeah, the end. That's a good way to put it. The end of primary season for the 2022 election is upon us.
Okay, but I'm talking about Liz Cheney's vote total.
And she was the last big one.
49,316 votes. Would you like to announce what Hageman got?
I would just like to announce that this was generally a curb stomping. Hageman got up in the neighborhood. Where's the number here?
113,025 yes. Votes. Far more than double. Far more than double.
100.
This may be, well, actually, your little term there, which
I thought you were going to ask me to say curb stomping.
No, I don't, because that's kind of a nasty term.
Hageman.
Look, if your little term that you like to use has ever been appropriate,
yeah,
this is probably it. This is embarrassing. This woman should go hide under her bed and not come out for several days.
Well, on the one hand, those who are in favor of Cheney will say that there is a price to standing for principle. On the other hand, there will be those who are critics that say clearly she was out of touch with her voters. We're going to visit with an old friend of mine that's former mayor of Cheyenne coming up here in the second hour of the show, because we want to see exactly what insiders on the ground in Wyoming are saying. So,
yeah, we're always interested in the insiders.
The only show you'll ever need in the morning. But what an absolute case study in American politics.
And Joe Manchin was caught by some reporter yesterday. And the reporter asked, "Is this how much is this Inflation Reduction Act going to reduce inflation?" And he goes, "Well, you can't just flip a switch." So essentially, what Joe Manchin is saying is, "Yeah, I know I've been had, and I know that I have contributed for the American people having been had."
Yep. And just as with Liz Cheney, this makes it now 7 out of 10 people.
That makes it
Out of the 10 people Republicans who voted for Donald Trump's impeachment have been able to find another job now, or being required to find another job as they've retired or been turned out. So Joe Manchin, and the thing is, Lynn, if Joe Biden is underwater in 44 to 46 of the 50 states in America, you'd think these politicians would understand what's going on, and that the American people are scared to death, not only for their lives on the street, but for their pocketbook is the most important thing. You're going to see a dramatic change come November, and the Democrats don't seem to be able to stop, because they're celebrating this passage of the Inflation Inducement Act, is what it is.
Inflation Inducement Act.
It's going to bring inflation.
I got two stories in the stack here juxtaposed against each other. I just think they're so funny. Time says that Trump allies are attacking Biden for the plan to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. That doesn't really exist.
How can they say
that? Well, hold on. Meanwhile, Joe Manchin is vowing to ensure that the IRS does not harass anybody with the $80 billion in the new spend and tax law. So we'll see how those two things jibe.
$80 billion is going to IRS. You know, they are more than double, or approximately doubling, the number of employees. And the Democrats won't put more employees on the border. They won't put more security guards in schools. They won't do whatever's necessary to put more police on the street. I don't think Americans are going to cotton to this very well.
All right, I'm going to get to a point here, but I'm going to start out by saying I have a friend named Glenn Dipple.
Okay.
Glenn's a CPA.
Yes.
Glenn is the guy credited with creating the finger pointing up, guns up sign for Texas Tech.
Really?
He's also a CPA. He had a letter in my hometown newspaper today.
Oh.
He said what Biden signed yesterday, there is a word for that if a private citizen does it.
Okay.
The word is counterfeiting.
Yes.
And I thought that was pretty astute,
Printing
money that's not real. Absolutely.
Yes.
And so I got to do a shout out on that one. I wish I'd thought of it. All right. When we come back in just a minute, we'll let you hear the concession from a landslide, Liz. And we also have a little bit from the signing ceremony with Joe Biden. Your
favorite president.
Your president. Absolutely.
Oh,
Talk 1370,
on,
the right choice. Lynn Woolley in the morning. Jim Cardle also in the morning. And we'll be right back.
Clap for that, you stupid bastard.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Dana Loesch. Coming up at 11 a.m., it's The Dana Show. Now back to Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Joe Biden set a small ceremony up in the state dining room of the White House, in which between his return from a six-day beachside vacation in South Carolina and his departure for his next vacation in Wilmington, I'm sure will be followed by several more vacations in a row. The legislation called the Inflation Reduction Bill is the most substantial federal investment in history to fight climate change. Every nickel we spend on climate change is a waste of money.
It's a waste of money, and have you seen?
Because if we succeed, we get nowhere.
Yep, even this morning on MSNBC, as we were getting ready for the show, they're not calling it the Inflation Reduction Act anymore. They're calling it the Tax and Environment and Healthcare Bill.
I don't know that because I don't watch that network. That network makes me feel like I just want to go in the bathroom and kneel over the throne.
87,000 agents to investigate and audit Americans.
We'll get to that in a minute because there's some dispute about that now. But some $375 billion over a decade to fight climate change. What we're trying to do, and this is what I have talked to my climate activist friend, Dr. Alan Northcutt, about and done podcasts with him about, is even if he gets everything he wants and it has the results that he wants, we still have climate change. Climate change isn't going to be stopped by a reduction of about 1/10 of a degree in the average temperature.
And how is a tax credit on a $67,000 luxury electric car going to help those in the Austin area or in South Texas who were putting gas in the tank?
That story's later in the stack. Okay. But if you got to read the fine print about all those regulations, and the chances are that you won't get that tax credit.
Of course.
So we'll get to that later. The measure is paid for. This is a joke. This is one of the jokes of government. You know the woman that lives in Washington that they always talk about?
The mayor?
No, Rosie Scenario. Rosie Scenario is a non-existent woman.
I've never heard that.
That's been around Washington for decades.
Hilarious.
Rosie Scenario is who they talk about when they're trying to convince you that some numbskull bill like this one is going to just succeed beyond our wildest dreams, and everybody will be, it'll be rainbow stew.
And they are so happy about
two chickens in every pot.
Bill. Yeah.
And pot in every chicken.
Yeah.
So the measure is paid for by new taxes on large companies. This is what the idiotic people in Washington, and I'm talking to you, Bernie Sanders, don't seem to understand. Well, corporations don't accept taxes. They pass them along to their customers.
Yeah, they have smart MBAs that work for them, and they can figure out that a 15% tax to them can be passed through to the customer.
But there are people who don't have MBAs and actually understand this.
Uh-huh.
And yes, I'm making fun of MBAs, yes, which is a money-raising scheme for colleges. The House on Friday approved the measure on a party line 220-207 vote. It passed the Senate days earlier with Vice President Kamala Harris breaking a 50-50 tie in that chamber. And as I have said before, on legislation this big, this enormous, this stupid, the American people should have been able to buy in, and we should have had a bipartisan vote on it. If you can't get a bipartisan vote on something like this, then don't do it.
Yep. As we go into a recession, even worse. It's just unbelievable.
All right, let's listen to Joe Biden at the signing ceremony.
The Inflation Reduction Act does so many things that for so many years, so many of us have fought to make happen. And let's be clear. In this historic moment, Democrats sided with the American people, and every single Republican in the Congress sided with the special interest in this vote. Every single one. In fact, the big drug companies spent nearly $100 million to defeat this bill. $100 million. And remember, every single Republican in Congress voted against this bill. Every single Republican Congress voted against lowering prescription drug prices, against lowering health care costs, against the fair tax system. Every single Republican, every single one, voted against tackling the climate crisis, against lowering our energy costs, against creating good-paying jobs. My fellow Americans, that's the choice we face. we can protect the already powerful or show the courage to build a future where everybody has an even shot. That's the America I believe in.
Mm-hmm. And that's Biden as he was signing the counterfeiting bill,
that's
according
Joe
to my
Biden,
friend.
Biden, the guy who was elected to unite our country.
Yeah, and by uniting, he meant Kamala Harris comes in and breaks a tie.
And the American people are now aware that every Democrat just is for tax increases and IRS agents. Yes, sir. You go knock yourself out, Joe Biden.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. As I said earlier, Joe Manchin is actually starting to be asked about this. How is the Inflation Reduction Bill going to reduce inflation?
It's not.
Manchin's deflecting this. He knows it won't. Biden knows it won't. Everybody up there knows it won't.
And I saw two or three other members of Congress right there in front of the Capitol building being asked the same thing, and the united response was to turn and say, next question.
I don't know. Maybe it's a backfire thing. When you have a big fire and you want to stop it, you can start another fire and let it go toward the other one. That's called a backfire. That might work. Maybe this will work. Maybe all of the inflationary bills that Biden has signed, and Trump signed a couple himself, we'll all go together and collide, and opposites will attract or whatever, and we'll just all come out in the land of milk and honey.
Lynn.
But I don't think so.
When 64% of Democrats don't want Joe Biden to run again in 2024, that was the latest New York Times poll from a couple weeks ago. You know you shouldn't be signing a bill that increases inflation and more tax agents.
Well, we wonder who's pulling the strings of Joe Biden.
Yeah, we do.
Barack Obama messaged Joe in some way. It probably was a tweet.
Why would he do that?
But he said, this is a BFD. Now, do you get the joke on that?
I know what BFD stands for.
But do you know why Obama would send that particular message specifically to Joe Biden?
Why?
Because when Obama did something, and I can't even remember what it was, Biden was caught on an open mic whispering in Obama's ear, this is a big effing deal.
Literally, yes.
Literally.
Yep, as a real... And I saw something the other day. It was 10 years ago this week that Joe Biden said Republicans are going to put blacks back in chains, the most racist statement I've ever heard in public. This is just unbelievable, Lynn. And the American public, it's not like they, by and large, didn't know it before, but they are PO'd and ready to go toss some of these monkeys out. That's what's going to be happening.
Clearly. All right. When we come back, we'll let you hear the sage words of Landslide Liz, and then we'll talk a little bit before the top of the hour about this Austin City Council budget. Talk 1370, the right choice.
Just two rejected applicants for the Biden Ministry of Truth.
We choose truth over facts.
Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Sound off on the day's top stories, 512-643-5483.
And truth is always a big deal, truth is a...
We ought to play that clip more often.
We choose truth over facts.
Truth is a BFD
truth
on the Cardle and Woolley Show.
It is a big statement.
All right, Hageman got 113,025 votes. Cheney got 49,316. Now, she's going to be facing a sports drink in November.
The guy that won the Democrat primary.
Yeah, Grey Bull.
Grey Bull.
Sounds like a sports
That's
drink.
Red
to me.
Bull, Lynn.
It's kind of like Cheetos.
Oh, and how many votes did Mr. Grey Bull, or maybe it's a gal, I don't know, but how many Democrats voted in Wyoming?
He won with 4,503 votes. The other two guys got 1,833 and 897 respectively, with 309 write-in votes. What that says to me, every single vote from the Democrats, every one of them, and added them to Liz Cheney's total, it's still a blowout.
Do you know what state out of the 50 went for Donald Trump by the largest margin in the last presidential
I'm assuming
election?
You will say Wyoming.
Exactly.
All right, so here's Liz Cheney's lovely concession speech.
2 years ago, I won this primary with 73% of the votes. I could easily have done the same again. The path was clear. But it would have required that I go along with President Trump's lie about the 2020 election. It would have required that I enable his ongoing efforts to unravel our democratic system and attack the foundations of our republic. That was a path I could not and would not take. And tonight, Harriet Hegeman has received the most votes in this primary. She won. I called her to concede the race. This primary election is over. But now the real work begins.
You know,
now the real work begins. What would that be?
She's going to run for president, maybe.
Lynn, Americans are unhappy with their political leadership. They're afraid
of inflation. What she said? Did you hear what she said?
They're worried about border security. Yes, I did.
I want you to focus on one of the things she said
her
in that concession speech.
Her priorities are totally cattywampus, but go ahead.
Well, she talked about the attacks on our democracy, pretty much. I don't remember if she said our democracy specifically.
You mean
that's
from
what
the
she
Democrats?
Was talking about. No, she wasn't talking about a raid on Mar-a-Lago that was obviously problematic. She wasn't talking about raids on Roger Stone or Manafort or anybody else where they could have just knocked on the door and handcuffed them and hauled them off that way.
Was she talking about all the misrepresentation of American history? Is all of America
goes
back to school this week?
She wasn't. Well, that's a different thing, but she wasn't talking about using of the FISA court the way it was, the insurance policy that the two FBI agents had while they were lovers in their off time. She wasn't talking about any of the things.
Was she talking about a secure border? These are the things
Americans
care about.
I'm talking about things that the government has gone in and done to conservatives.
Yes,
that's what I'm talking about.
As well. To our nation as well.
All right. All right. I'll give you that. Let's go to Jim on 1431. Good morning.
Hey, gentlemen. Great show as usual. Thank you for what you do every morning.
Thank you, sir.
The Cheney thing. When you mentioned the word counterfeit earlier, that's the perfect word. In my opinion, everything is counterfeit that is in the D.C. right now in the White House because of the night of November 2020. And then the other thing, Cheney, what a backstabber. I mean, and I bet you probably 10 to 15% of those votes are fraudulent. Counterfeit. I'm going to use the counterfeit. That's the perfect word. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. You know,
And this is a question a lot of Americans are asking. We do not trust our experts, quote unquote. We don't trust our quote unquote institutions like the FBI and the Department of Justice. Nor are politicians in the media.
Well, I'm just thinking back to other counterfeit things that involved a Cheney.
The news we get today in a lot of areas is counterfeit, one would say, but go ahead with Cheney.
Who is it that got us into the shock and awe deal in Iraq? Wasn't that Dick Cheney?
George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Well, it was Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was the de facto president, and George did pretty much what Dick told him to do.
Brother.
That's my opinion, okay?
Good for you. This is
an opinion show.
Yes.
And Dick Cheney came out and laid out that case, and then Colin Powell came out and laid out that case to go in. And it turned out that there were... I mean, maybe there was a little bit of yellow cake uranium hanging around somewhere, but there wasn't much. Yeah, the intelligence was bad.
It wasn't the decision. Those guys you just mentioned were basing their decisions upon the intelligence that was gathered by the CIA.
You're very forgiving.
And I'm pointing to the intelligence, not to the actual decision.
You're telling me you don't think Dick Cheney wanted to go into Iraq in any situation?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
I think he did. Yeah. I think he did, and I think he looked for what he needed to back it up so they could go do it.
But I used to know Dick Cheney, and he is a good man and has been a servant to this country.
Well,
I'm not going to take the four or five bad decisions.
You're not going to go on a hunting trip with him and
that's my landlord.
Shoot at a quail?
Shot him, yeah. Austin's
that's
own
your,
Harry Whittington.
Your landlord,
yes.
and nice guy, too.
Yes, sir. You've met
him. Oh, my goodness.
But here we have it, another final chapter, the 2022 primary season is essentially done. We've got one more in New York and a couple other states in the coming weeks, but the table is set for the November election and one election for the history books it is going to be, Lynn.
Okay, you talk about the history books. Let me ask you a question about what you think the history books are going to reflect on the Cheney family, because you had Dick and this invasion of Iraq, which changed history, and we don't know whether it was for the better or for the worse, because we don't know what the other timeline would have been. And now we have Liz, who has come out with this terrible campaign, and her entire existence is based on a vendetta against one man, and nobody can win in politics with just hatred of a single person. And then her father, good old Dick Cheney, who's operating now with somebody else's heart, comes out and says, well, Liz is the only one with integrity and yada, yada, yada in that commercial. What do you think the legacy in our history books of the Cheney family is going to be?
I think by and large, that's a very good question. I think prior to Liz Cheney's misplaced priorities is the way I look at it. Of the last year, it's going to be generally favorable. And I imagine it's going to focus more on Dick Cheney's storied career than and Liz's faux pas here at the end will be kind of a footnote. It's certainly not going to be what it would have been 2 years ago. That's obvious. And I think anybody who serves in public office is giving up their life for a significant portion of their time, so that's commendable. But then you got to look at their actual accomplishments.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Don't we compensate them for giving a portion of their lives pretty dang well? And don't most of them become multimillionaires on insider trading?
Most do not. Absolutely not.
What if their name is Pelosi?
Then that's absolutely true. Yes.
Do you know anybody in Congress who has come out less wealthy than when that person went in? Anybody?
I could find one.
Oh, do it. That's a challenge.
But did you notice Nancy Pelosi was not present at the IRS Inflation Act yesterday? That was interesting to me. I think she was going to the bank with husband Paul's profits from the insider trading.
Of the 10 GOP members on Trump's target list, 7 have lost. Now Liz makes 8.
Yep.
They either have lost their primaries or, like Adam Kinzinger, who wasn't even going to risk it. He just said, hey, I'm just not going to seek re-election.
See, Lynn, this is what the Democrats are afraid of. They know that the mojo is on the side of red-blooded, God-fearing Americans who want to take this country back and make America great again. They may think that eliminating Donald Trump's the way to get that handled, but they are exactly wrong. It's having the opposite effect.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I think is going on in American politics right now.
Okay, I'm interested.
And you got CRT, you got all this other stuff going on, but when you get right down to the bottom line, I think Victor Davis Hanson and some other people that say this are absolutely right. It's how's your life going? And my life,
exactly.
I don't know about your life, but my life was far better when Donald Trump was president than when Joe Biden is president. And I can take a few mean tweets here and there to get back to that. All right, Austin City Council gets to do something I don't get to do.
Raise your own pay.
Yeah, raise their own pay. So we'll talk about when we come back. Talk 1370, the right choice. We'll be back in a minute.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
Jim, it's budget time for the city council. They're zeroing in on the final version of next year's city budget. And the budget in a city the size of Austin's what? $5 billion or something?
Yes, sir. Billions. I think you're exactly right. That's
it's about a $5 billion spending plan.
Yes.
So what do you think the big things are that we ought to do? I mean, let me give you 3 possibilities, and you tell me what's most important.
Okay.
All right, one would be increasing our police presence.
No.
That's not the most important?
No.
Okay, one would be maybe increasing our 911 operators.
No.
And the other one I'm going to give you as a choice would be raising the salaries of the mayor and the city council.
Ding, 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 ding. There you go. Casey's on it. That's what I was going to say. I'm joking when you say raising the salary of police or putting more police off. Yeah, of course that's what Americans want. Here we have what an awkward situation that while Austinites are all suffering under the the cost of housing going up, the high cost of living in Austin. Leslie Poole is in the paper this morning saying, we're subject to the same economic pressures as our employees. I do think the public recognizes the work that we do. That is questionable to me. It's going to be a 4% pay increase for city employees. Those that have been with the city for longer than a year get a $1,500 stipend.
They could all move into my apartment complex, and that would give them a big raise.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they'd be saving a lot of money on their mansions.
Yeah, exactly. So on the one hand, Lynn, you know, inflation is a real and live thing.
Well, no, it isn't. There's not going to be any inflation. Joe just said, Biden, we have zero inflation.
But it's every American with a brain knows, and even
and we're about to get it even lower than that because of this new inflation reduction bill. It's going to go below zero.
So I think every American is justified in asking for money, more money, because the cost of living is going up.
Now, wait a minute. City council members make $83,000 annually for what? In some cities, is a volunteer job.
Yep. And this is interesting. The Statesman says this morning that Mayor Adler does not take a salary.
Where does it go?
I didn't know that. He was like Donald Trump did. Goes back into the office, according to our ace producer, Casey Johns here, who knows everything about the city. So good on him. That's something that I certainly didn't know until this morning and is worth calling out. But you're right. That mayor's position is now going to see a 37% pay increase to $134,000.
Well, let me ask you a question. And I don't know about Kirk Watson and the other people that are running, but how would you measure the income of, or the let's say the wealth of Mayor Steve Adler? Would it be in thousands of dollars? Would it be in millions of dollars? Would it be in hundreds of millions of dollars?
You mean what's Steve Adler's net worth, for instance?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, he's generally and well known to be a multimillionaire. And he's just, as we covered yesterday, he's got a nice new gig lined up once he leaves office at the end of the year. So there's nothing wrong with making a buck. I can't fault anybody for that.
No, me neither. I'd just like to see him do it other places than government. Tom in Anderson Mill. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear that Adler's not taking a check. I feel a lot better knowing now that he's paid exactly what he's worth to it.
Good one.
It was a lapse in judgment.
But this primary reaction that you're seeing, I think, is a result of a reaction to the shock of switching from the best president in the United States history to the worst president in the United States history in one phony election.
Isn't that the darn truth? That is a accurate and a succinct way of putting it. I would have to agree.
Tom, that's pretty sage, because we had a what I have seen referred to by economists as a near-perfect economy. Of course, the pandemic came in. If it weren't for the pandemic, Biden would have never been elected, because they were able to weaponize that against him. But then Biden comes in, takes all the things Trump had done that were working so well, and he reversed them.
Well, what you're going to see in the future elections is we want back what we had before the pandemic. I mean, that's not, you don't have to be real smart.
But what about the mean tweets?
Well, you know, if you got the worst, angriest individual in the world who happens to be the best plumber in the world, I hire him in a heartbeat.
Well put.
All right, Tom. I see where you're coming from, and I can't argue with that logic. Thank you very much for calling.
He and millions of other, the large majority of America, Lynn, is right where he just put it. When you got the chance to hire the best plumber, you don't care if he's an obnoxious and mean New Yorker or not, you hire him.
Before I forget this, and I'll attribute it to Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends this morning, because I didn't see it. You know, Jill is positive for COVID.
Oh, the first lady. Yes, he said, Dr. Jill Biden.
Yes, I only got a minute here, or 20 seconds. He says, obviously, Joe is supposed to be in seclusion. He came out, signed this thing, wasn't wearing a mask, coughed into his hands, signed the bill, gave the pen to Joe Manchin, then shook hands with all the elderly Democrats.
And there you have the summary of the event.
Yes. And that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
Talk 1370 is the right choice. We will be back shortly, so stay with us.
We'll be right back.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
All right, everybody's going back to school across the great state of Texas, certainly here in Austin. And the last couple days, we've been talking about the Texas Education Agency's A through F rating. One of our Texas champions for schools in this great state is State Senator Paul Bettencourt from Houston. He is former tax collector assessor for Harris County, the fourth largest county in America. And it's only because of a bill he passed last session that these school accountability ratings have been coming out or were able to come out this year. Paul Bettencourt, appreciate you joining us. Give us your read on this thumbnail of Texas schools, if you would.
Well, basically what we did, Jim, was there was a third court of appeals ruling that was involved in a case with the Houston Independent School District. And not surprisingly, you get some pretty crazy rulings out of that outfit. And it basically struck down the entire school rating system in the state. Now, that led us to last session where there were several attempts to pass bills to get it reinstated. After two bills went down in the House on points of order, we moved Senate Bill 1365, and that's a bill that restored all the A through F ranking system across the state, and that was my bill that eventually passed. Now, the important thing about it is the bottom line is what gets measured gets fixed.
Yes.
If you got a rating system, then the public, the teachers, the students, the parents, you name it, everybody have got some idea of what's happening in their schools. And this includes, you know, the public schools as well as the charter schools. So it was really a big step to get it back online because it's really important for the public to know what's happening in their own public school system.
Yes, as you said, what gets measured gets focused on. But on the other hand, the critics say that there's too much teaching to the test. We know from the last couple years that there's been a lot of curious things sneaking into the classroom, whether it be sexual grooming or critical race theory. What's your state of the actual content in the classroom these days? Are we teaching kids the reading, writing, and arithmetic, perhaps?
Well, what the scores show is that we have managed to, in many cases, plow through the COVID year and get some attention, especially on third grade reading, which is really important. Now, what we're having trouble with is eighth grade math, and that's bad news. Okay, because really, when you look at the foundation for a technical education, it's really algebra 2, and that's first taught in eighth grade or potentially ninth grade, depending upon when you take it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know we've got some challenges ahead, but the bottom line is that a lot of schools have come through this with an improved grade. More importantly, they've also been able to try to close the gap on what has been really an educational chasm, because COVID was really bad news for schools cohorts for these years, primarily due to the fact that if you don't have in-person instruction, the vast majority of kids basically go into retrograde motion rapidly. Mm-hmm. on their learning.
Paul, I want to go back to the new rankings that just came out, the A through C, and then as far or the A and B, and then the D and F. I think they just used a no rating system. But the number of A schools now and the number of B schools sort of belies logic. Do you believe these are accurate, or can they be accurate in any way with this rosy scenario?
Well, what's happening is you've got this version of it does not just teach exactly to the test. That's one of the criteria that you're getting. You're getting also two measurements of in-class, performance as groups, like closing the gaps on training of children that are far behind to start the school system year. So you are getting a different set of metrics. And basically, for example, there was an elementary school in Houston. It's near the Third Ward. It had a 71 last year, ballooned to a 95, a 95 being the third highest score out of 4,500 campuses, roughly. Their real increase was closing the gap on students that started far behind, but they brought them up quickly to grade level.
So what I hear you saying, though, and I understand what you mean about the bringing them up to grade level, but they changed the rules. They're so tired of the schools being dumped on, and they wanted to give the schools, especially those districts that are having bond elections, something to crow about. But I'm sorry, I don't believe these new ratings are accurate.
Well, Lynn, when you see a not rated, which is right in the there's a lot of not rated schools back in Austin, to get the bill out of the House, that was one of the requirements that the House sponsor came through with, because that people wanted basically a COVID year, you know, off switch, because the leadership that I saw, like at Niche Elementary, is really astonishingly good in Klein ISD, for example, that pulled that huge double move off. Now, when you look at bond issues, remember, this is the guy that has the committee that wherever the bond issue is, you will see the words, "This is a tax increase," when you go into the booth to vote.
Thank you, Paul Bettencourt.
Okay. And so that one change, Lynn, last year, only 48% of bond issues passed in November. Because once people understand that if they vote a bond issue, they get a tax increase. That's still there, and that is a very difficult hill to climb now, because people know, and especially when you look at what's happening in Austin, because we'll talk about, you know, Austin property taxes, but that's something that's, you know, that's part of this, you know, overall reform, and that's not going away.
Well, are you telling us, though, and I'm trying to get this in my little head here, are you telling us that because of the pandemic and because the schools and the teachers were so adamant about not having in-person classes and all the other stuff that we were told by Fauci and the other people who told us things that have not panned out to be true, that we've actually lost a couple of years? And so if I'm hearing what you're saying, in order to make up for that, which they think they ought to get credit for in some way, they're fudging now to make the schools look better than they really are.
You know, Lynn, let me say this. When you come through an event like that, your first data point that you get out tells you something. But really, the data points that tell you are the third, fourth, and fifth years downstream. Because at that point in time, you'll know whether, like, the third grade kids that are doing well in reading still pass the eighth grade math and everything that goes downstream of it. Look, the fact of the matter is that, for example, I mean, you touched on it. We had major political figures in the state, like Judge Lee and Hidalgo, trying to demand that schools not restart, that we don't go back into in-person learning. That was preposterously wrong. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when that occurred, you know, I was one of the loudest voices to say, basically, get out of here, get out of the way, so we can get kids back into some type of classroom learning. Now, with everything, we're going to see how this rating system does. But the fact is, you know, at least in my area, when we were looking at the stuff live for, you know, eight television cameras, Commissioner Morath brought up the Austin area, and there were a bunch of not rated schools in Austin ISD. Well, that means that they've got trouble. Now, and if that trouble is not resolved by next year, there's going to be a slew of DNS in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming, unless people do the same thing that happened, like in this elementary school I saw, that they, you know, they get their leadership team together and they get back to the focus on educating kids. And you're right, Lynn, dropping whatever, if there's anything that's been distracted them, like CRT or whatever the problem is, they got to drop it and get back to teaching kids basic math and reading.
So trust but verify is always a good thing, especially in a unique situation we're coming out of with the COVID. We're talking with State Senator Paul Bettencourt. You can follow him on Facebook at Vote Bettencourt. Senator, you've been in charge of writing the state budget. We've got new appraisal rates. Prices on homes are going through the roof. It's going to impact the state budget. What's your read on the appraisal rates and the state budget coming up?
All right. Well, let's break a little news for the Austin listeners. When you look at what's happening in Austin, you've had the highest growth rate of appraisals in the state. If you're a homestead, okay, this applies to your one homestead.
Okay.
You're going to be paying less than you were the year before on school taxes. And if the city at 9-penny reduction and the county's 4-penny reduction hold, then that means that your entire property tax bill will be down slightly. Now, that's because you've got a 10% homestead appraisal cap that holds that down.
Okay.
We're looking at all around the state. There's going to be about, well over half of the school districts are going to be down at the maximum compression, which means that their base M&O rate is going to start about 80 cents. So there's going to be some more surprising property tax relief in the fall that will cost the state millions. But the good news is your homestead tax bill is not going to be inflated. In fact, people are going to be astonished when they see it.
Wow.
For school taxes, it's actually going to be down for your homestead bill.
So finally,
that's also due to Prop 1.
Yes.
That was that passage of the extra homestead exemption.
So in certain areas, certainly in Austin, because of your efforts at the legislature, property taxes on ISDs will be, the dollar amount will be slightly down.
And does that include Austin if the bond issue is passed?
That's a good point. First off, yes, it's only for homesteads, though.
Okay.
Because look,
right.
No offense, if you're on rental property, you've got no protection that's like a homestead. Now, on the bond issues, if anybody passes a bond issue, bets are off, period. I've got a press release going out about that tomorrow. Because if you vote yourself a tax increase, then that's what it means. You've just passed a tax increase. Now, the other thing, Lynn, for the skeptics out there, one of the big questions is enrollment. Okay.
Yes.
Now, it is very possible, and I think highly probable, that urban areas like Austin ISD, Houston ISD, Dallas ISD are going to see enrollment declines. Now, if that occurs, because one of the shifts in Ben especially with COVID, is that people started using things like teaching at home, private schools, parochial schools, whatever.
Charter schools.
A lot of charter schools. And if that occurs, that's going to put a lot of stress on some of these school districts, because they've been used to having increased enrollment. And some of them I've seen are putting out big bond issues and they're not going to have an enrollment increase.
Okay,
that's going to be a tough sell to the public.
Big news here from State Senator Paul Bettencourt. Your property taxes are going to potentially be going down. Keep an eye on that. I got to ask you one final question, Senator. We've got a county judge here in Austin. There's a lot of focus on some of these Soros-backed county judges. You in Harris County, you've got a judge with three indicted staff members at county staff levels. What's the latest over there on the bouncing ball?
Well, the bouncing ball is that we've got Judge Hidalgo's got three staff members that are indicted. There has not been an indictment of the judge yet, but it doesn't seem to change how they continue to want to put leftist progressives into major positions. They just replaced a resigned election administrator in Harris County that blew the primaries with somebody that 10 years ago was taken to task by, of all things, Washington District Council, D.C. Council, for not being able to run elections. And the guy has over $100,000 of IRS liens.
And you're hiring him.
Right, and Harris County's hiring them.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, we are going to have to leave it there for time. State Senator Paul Bettencourt, thank you very much for being with us.
Anytime, guys. Bye.
Thank you, sir.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
As I mentioned in our earlier discussions, I'm noticing a trend here, Jim, and then we'll take Stephen's call. We'll try to give him enough time to pontificate. But I want to say this very quickly. A GOP governor, and the printer didn't give me everything I needed on this.
All right.
A GOP governor has unveiled plans to mitigate harm from Biden's tax hike. This is, here it is. It's Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt.
Yes.
All right, so they're going to take measures to keep Biden's bill he passed yesterday from harming everybody. Now, go to Tallahassee. Florida Chief Financial Officer Jimmy Patronis is urging state lawmakers to take up measures to counter a newly signed federal law that significantly increases Internal Revenue Service funding. Now, go to Joe Manchin. Manchin vows to ensure the IRS doesn't harass anybody with $80 billion in the new tax and spend law.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Isn't that something? All right, Stephen, your thoughts.
That's a good intro, guys. Thank you. I think that I agree totally with Cardle when he says that this is the Inflation Inducement Act, and it's also the IRS Coercion Act, because these agents are going to be armed, and they're going to be coming after people, and they're going to be very selective in who they come after. A la Lois Lerner, okay? They're going to be very focused on which political party that they audit the most, all right? Now, this another thing it does is it is a misappropriation of money trying to fight climate change. If the Democrats and everybody who believes in this fake religion, if they're really concerned about saving humanity, they would be quick trying to ban carbon emissions, because carbon dioxide is plant food. We're going to be entering into worldwide famine because of their fight against carbon. What they really should be doing is looking at the drought that we're entering into. They could do things like every part of the United States that has average annual rainfall less than 50 inches per year, they should immediately ban all non-agricultural irrigation.
Well, we're out of time. Let me take the rest of the time that we have to mention. I was working on a project yesterday afternoon for the Epoch Times. There are farmer protests right now going on in the Netherlands, major scale farmer protests. They had video of it. And the reason is the government's coming in, taking their farmland, preventing them from using the nitrogen-based fertilizer because of its emissions.
Ah.
And so, yeah, there are going to be worldwide food shortages. Talk 1370, the right choice. That's my opinion. We'll be back.
Your daily recommended allowance of logic. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
2 years ago, I won this primary with 73% of the votes. I could easily have done the same again. The path was clear. But it would have required that I go along with President Trump's lie about the 2020 election. It would have required that I enable his ongoing efforts to unravel our democratic system and attack the foundations of our republic. That was a path I could not and would not take. And tonight, Harriet Hegeman has received the most votes in this primary. She won. I called her to concede the race. This primary election is over. But now, the real work begins.
You know, here at the Cardle and Woolley Show, we pride ourselves on bringing you the experts themselves, the elected officials themselves, so you can hear it from them as well as hear it from us. An old friend of mine, Marion Orr, happens to be the 56th mayor of the city of Cheyenne, Wyoming. We just heard Liz Cheney's concession speech there. Marion, appreciate you joining us. You have been on the ground, obviously, for this historic race in the great state of Wyoming. Tell us what your thinking is and what's the word on the ground this morning.
Well, good morning, Jim. It's great to be on your show, and certainly love your great state of Texas when I'm not here in Wyoming. But boy, it's been just obviously a really crazy, wild ride out here in Wyoming when it comes to elections. I mean, generally, we actually kind of pride ourselves in the fact that we're a flyover state. And the past 72 hours, everything trending has been Wyoming, from social media, you know, accounts to certainly talk shows like yourself. So it was certainly a crazy race. And again, having President Trump actually, fly out here and stump for Harriet Hageman was something we certainly haven't ever really seen in an election.
And just the vitriol and the anger, there's always something for standing on political principle, but then there's the counter argument of representing your constituents. I'm sure there have been neighbors and friends with yard signs that have exposed the politics of today. A lot of folks won't realize, but the state of Wyoming has two senators, only one congressman. You're a former elected official. How nasty exactly has it been?
Well, our beloved Alan Simpson loves to say that politics is a contact sport.
Yes.
And it's certainly been the case. I happen to live in the same neighborhood as Harriet, and went out for a walk yesterday morning. And I mean, talk about just literally in your face kind of campaigning. Her neighbors across the street had Cheney signs in front of her, their yard.
So wow.
It's pitted neighbors against each other. It's pitted families against each other. And so hopefully, this morning we always know that the sun rises, and after an election, it's just a little bit brighter for some than others, but hopefully we can all come back together again.
Amen.
Well, I have to say, I was just out walking around Devil's Tower not too long ago.
You were.
And that's a pretty cool thing there in Wyoming. And I just read a couple of Longmire novels. So that all takes place in Wyoming.
Yes.
It seems like you are the center of the known universe right now. What is your impression of the upcoming race that's going to pit the winner in the two primaries?
Well, I think that, again, what was really interesting in this particular election, and I think it'll be one for the political scientists and historians to kind of delve, closer in. But with this particular race, at least in the primary, the candidates had more in common than they did in differences. And really the only difference was former President Trump and actually one particular day in history, in January 6th. So I think going forward, Wyoming is ruby red. We've got 71% of registered voters voting Republican. So it's clearly Hageman's seat going into the general.
Yeah, it looks like the number of votes, with Hageman getting 113,000 and Cheney getting 49,000, and the Democrats got nothing even remotely close to that. Gray Bull earned 4,503 votes. I mean, if you take all plus the write-in votes and put it together, it doesn't even make a chink in what the Republicans did. So I'll just ask you, what kind of a representative do you think Harriet Hageman will make?
Well, really quickly about the amount of Democrats that voted in the primary, we have something really kind of unique in Wyoming that we did have quite a few Democrats on Election Day yesterday switch over to vote Republican, to vote for Cheney. So those Democrats really didn't pick up many votes within their own race. And then, of course, on general election day, the Democrats can switch over and switch back to their Democratic Party. But going forward, Harriet Hageman she's a brilliant attorney. She's fierce. I think she's going to, again, represent Wyoming's interests very well. Wyoming, nearly half of our lands are federally owned. So everything EPA, Interior Department, federal government overreach is, certainly very concerning for all of us here in the state of Wyoming. And Harriet has and will continue to be, I think, a very fierce advocate for states' rights and for the state of Wyoming.
All right, folks, we're visiting with immediate past mayor of Cheyenne, Wyoming, the 56th mayor. Marion Orr was the first female. Let's just jump and pivot a little bit to the national level. You're talking about some of the national mood there with the EPA regulations, inflation at record levels. You're a past elected official. What do you think the mood of the country is now going into the home stretch to November?
Well, I believe everything is certainly, you know, all eyes are, you know, really on, you know, not only the economy, but, you know, national defense and wars going on and how that really is impacting, you know, our markets here in the United States. But I think going forward, we really are all clamoring for a healthy economy. None of us likes to see inflation at the rate it's going. So, again, turning our sights to maybe the feds and, you know, what the Treasury Department and, you know, and those folks, you know, do as far as really trying to balance out what's happening with these markets.
I have a kind of an odd question here, but I'll just ask it anyway. Liz Cheney's never really lived in Wyoming a lot, has she? Isn't her family really in Virginia most of the time? And I just wondered if that's true. It's a similar situation with Mitt Romney, who was governor of Massachusetts, but now represents Utah. So what do you think about these politicians that run around the country looking for a favorable place to run?
Well, it certainly has happened out here in Wyoming in the past and probably for decades. And what we found, at least out here in Wyoming, is, you know, once a candidate really holds true to the party line and what's best for the state that he or she is representing, I think we all tend to forget where somebody actually came from. And anymore, I'd like to think that, you know, we're, you know, we have a very strong U.S. Nationalism and what's best for our country. And, you know, while we all believe in, at least many of us out here in the West believe in states' rights, you know, where you came from doesn't really matter so much as what you do going forward.
Yeah, what she did going forward actually sent her backward. But what do you make of her announcement this morning, apparently on one of the television networks, that she's seriously considering a run for president?
Well, we certainly won't see, you know, Liz going away. She's a fierce fighter, and she's very, she's really dug her heels in, obviously, to this issue, you know, on the January 6th committee commission hearings. But as far as, you know, presidential, that, you know, it's really interesting. She is certainly telegraphing that she could very well be a contender. When it comes down to the numbers, though, I simply don't know if the math will be there for her. Within the Republican votes.
All right, former Cheyenne Mayor Marion Orr from the great state of Wyoming, the city of Cheyenne. We appreciate your time this morning to join us the morning after the famous Wyoming primary of 2022. Godspeed to you up there in the great state of Wyoming.
Thank you. Be well.
All right, Talk 1370 is the right choice. We'll be back in just a moment.
Running for president.
With a couple of dates at the Moody Center you may want to circle on your calendar.
I just say, if you believe the lies that you've been told over the past week and a half, lies that have quickly been disproven by Donald Trump's next lie. You see, because lie number two undercuts lie number one.
Okay. I guess it does. Talk 1370 is the right choice, and we'll be back.
What is going on with you two?
It's time for Cardle and Woolley's News to Know.
Stay tuned to this station for further news flashes.
Before you go.
And here we go.
Jim, it's actually too weird.
What's that?
Well, I've got this all these stories here about what's going on in this bill that Biden signed yesterday. I want to read you something from Time magazine. The news broke on Monday that the FBI searched former President Trump's South Florida home, Republican members of Congress and right-wing media figures.
Oh, that's
that would be you and me.
That's an adjective that you're not supposed to use if you're an objective reporter. Yes, continue.
Well, I don't know. I'm a right-wing media figure. I embrace it. Have launched a new line of attack against Democrats that the Internal Revenue Service intends to use nearly $80 billion in new funding to pursue similar intrusions on average Americans
Well, that's what the evidence shows. Yes.
Those dollars, Trump allies are saying, will go toward the hiring of 87,000 new IRS agents. And this says this is not true. Essentially, what the Time magazine thing is saying is that the Inflation Reduction Act, a landmark climate, health care, and tax package, yes, with nothing to do with inflation, includes roughly $78 billion for the IRS to be phased in over 10 years.
Yep.
A Treasury Department report from May of 2021 estimated that such an investment would enable the agency to hire roughly 87,000 employees by 2031, but most of those hires would not be agents and would not be new positions.
I tell you, Lynn, go knock yourself out and go through whatever political and mental gymnastics you want to. If we are coming fresh off the defunding police and need more police on the streets, if we know we don't have enough border agents securing our border, that the border is open and yet we're being told otherwise,
Time says
that does not pass the smell test.
Time says in 2010, Republicans took back control of the House, immediately instituted a series of crippling cuts on the IRS. Since then, overall funding has fallen further by more than 20%, while enforcement funding has dropped 31%. So what they're saying here is they're trying to get the IRS back to where it was when it was
Even if that's all true, you do not do it going into a recession and throw on top of it a 15% tax increase on corporations.
Know where I am on the IRS? And then, I would get rid of it.
And then tell us that it's the Inflation Reduction Act?
In other words, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Exactly.
But look, that's an old axiom that maybe we shouldn't adopt here. But it's absolutely true here. The IRS is the American Gestapo. I despise the agency. I despise it really every April when I have to deal with it. I despise having to lay out the amount of money that I have to lay out to hire somebody to do my taxes because they're so freaking complex that I can't begin to understand it. And then they force me to sign on a dotted line that everything in there is true when I didn't prepare it because I don't know how to prepare it.
Exactly.
I'm ready for the fair tax, get rid of the IRS altogether, get rid of income taxes altogether, and April 15th, we can all go out front here and have a picnic.
And that's you and every other American, Lynn, that feels that way about the IRS. The FBI is now going to be suffering from the same image, and when the Joe Biden and Merrick Garland team has to be defending themselves, they're going backwards. That's what's happening in November.
All right, and Minneapolis Teachers Union now calls for, when they have layoffs of teachers, white teachers would be the first to go. A Minneapolis Teachers Union contract stipulates this now. The MFT, the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers, and the MPS, the Minnesota Public Schools, struck that deal on March 25 to end a 14-day teacher strike. I have another way to end it. The way Ronald Reagan ended the air controller strike. He fired every last one of them. Get rid of them. I don't care if there's
racism.
A teacher shortage.
This is against the Civil Rights
Act. That's unconstitutional.
It's going to go to court again.
Well, it's unconstitutional to do things
like that. What are the people drinking in their water up there in the state of Minnesota?
I don't know. And the new EV tax credit.
Yes.
Listen to this. Matt Hirsch piece. Do Democrats still represent the middle class, he asks? Purchasing an electric vehicle might qualify you for a new EV tax credit as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. Unfortunately, detractors say the new credit could hurt the electric vehicle industry, not to mention many current electric vehicles on the market don't even qualify for the credit. And then he goes into all the details. But just understand, if you think you're going to buy an EV and get that credit, you might want to read that a little further.
And that means you're leaving for me, Lynn, this new release Casey just handed us. The San Antonio Spurs announced special home games at Austin Moody Center. April 6th and April 9th of 2023.
April 6th and 8th.
What did I say?
9th.
6th and 8th. You're correct. The San Antonio Spurs has announced today they will host four special games during the 22-23 season, including two at the new state-of-the-art Moody Center in Austin.
Ooh, this is going to irritate the Bexar County commissioners who have already warned the San Antonio Spurs. Does Austin Spurs have a ring to it at all?
It absolutely does. We need some more pro team. We need some pro teams here other than UT.
UT's ranked 27th.
Yeah, now that we have the image and likeness dynamic going on at the college.
Now, but what do you make of this? Do you see? Here's the thing, in my mind, I just didn't see the Moody Center as being a pro quality stadium. It is with its amenities, but its seating capacity is so small.
Well, the fact of the matter is that Austin's now the 10th largest city in America. We don't have any major professional sports teams. I think the Cowboys ought to play a game at the UT Stadium. There ought to be some baseball teams that are looking at this. Yeah, we need some professional
sports.
Jerry
would much prefer the Longhorns play a game at his stadium. You've got to get your priorities
right. Well, here's
right
the here. First one.
Love yeah, it. I think Austin will get a baseball team one of these days. The Austin Mockingbirds. I've already named them. All right. Be logical. You're either an insider
or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Happy hump day, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.